The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 10th, 2011, in St. Vlas, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Veta Tvam Saumya Tat Sarvam Tatvataha. Mahendra, you want to do the translation today? You can. I would like you to translate. Yeah. Take advantage of Mahendra Prabhu's presence here. Tatvataha tat anugrahat bruyu snigdashya shishyashya gurava guhyam vetatvam saumyatat sarvam tatvatas tadanugrahat Tatvatas tadanugrahat bruhyu snigdashya shishyashya bruhyu snigdashya shishyashya gurava guhyam apyuta guravam guhyam apyuta Veta 118. You are well conversant. Tvam. Your honor. Saumya. One who is pure and simple. Tat. Those. Sarvam. All. Tatvataha. In fact, tat, there, anugrahat, by the favor of, bhuhyu, will tell, snigdashya, of the one who is submissive. Shishyasya of the disciple. Guravaha, the spiritual masters. Guhyam, secret. Apiyuta, endowed with. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And because you were submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Purport. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead? And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Sutta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Sutta Goswami was bona fide, therefore they were anxious to hear from him.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jathaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakanvitamscha.
So these sages of Naimisharanya, they are very much appreciating Srila Sutta Goswami. Because he was submissive to his spiritual masters. So, the more we become submissive to Guru and senior Vaishnavas, the more we become pleasing to others. By this submissiveness to Guru and Vaishnavas, we develop the quality of compassion. The Vaishnava, he is known as Paradukha Dukhi. He is very much pained in his heart to see the suffering of others. He cannot tolerate to see other people suffering in illusion. Therefore, he embraces the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To deliver the suffering souls of this material world back to home, back to Godhead. The secret of success in regards to successfully propagating this Krishna consciousness movement is to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sutta Goswami, to be submissive to one's spiritual master. In other words, it's not that on our own that we have any potency to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. We humbly feel ourselves and understand ourselves simply to be instrumental. Prabhupada explained so nicely his feeling of being instrumental. He said, I have no bhakti and I have no Vedanta, no knowledge and no devotion, although I've been designated as Bhakti Vedanta. And he prayed, my dear Krishna, you take me as a puppet in your hands and you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. This is the secret. Don't try to be the doer. simply be instrumental in the hands of your spiritual master. However your spiritual master engages you, that is your perfection. So Prabhupada has given us this wonderful engagement. To practice this sadhana-bhakti, chanting at least 16 rounds every day on japa-mala, following these four regulated principles. No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. To work together as a spiritual family for enhancing the Krishna consciousness of each other. And for reaching out to the suffering people of this world to give them Krishna consciousness. This is called dharma. This is our duty, given to us by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Ti Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So the more we become submissive to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, the more we will become happy, the more we will be successful in giving happiness to others. Prabhupada is very wonderfully pointing out here in his purport that if one dissatisfies one spiritual master, there is only havoc on the path of self-realization. So it's either one way or the other. You either satisfy your spiritual master, or you dissatisfy your spiritual master. If you satisfy him, then you have all blessings, all empowerment. If you dissatisfy him, you're like Arjuna at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. You have no potency. Arjuna could not even execute his ordinary worldly duties because he was not properly situated submissively to his spiritual master. We see that sometimes. Somebody becomes disobedient to the spiritual master. And then they can't even earn a living even. They're not even able to do an ordinary work, what to speak of devotional work. But if one follows the wonderful example of Arjuna and surrenders to one's spiritual master, then one is blessed with all power, all potency. So what is that Arjuna mood? It's very nicely explained. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prishtami tvang dharma samudda cheta yat shreyan sha nishchitang bruhi matanme shishashtihang shadimang tvang prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. Now I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. This is the proper move. We approach our spiritual master. We humbly submit ourselves to him. And we beg him. We beg him to instruct us. It's because Sudha Goswami had this submissive mood to his spiritual masters. The sages of Namasharanya had full confidence to hear from Sudha Goswami. That because you are submissive to your spiritual masters, now therefore we are submissive to you. There are some very interesting words in this verse. The sages say, therefore you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. That word scientifically is very significant. The Sanskrit word here is tattvataha. Factual, in fact. So science actually means facts. It doesn't mean theories. What they call science nowadays is not science. It's theories only. Because they make one scientific theory, they call it the truth. It's accepted for some time. And then it's rejected by another so-called scientific truth. They reject one, they accept another one, they reject that one, they accept another one in this way. Therefore, Prabhupada calls it fool's paradise. They don't know what they're talking about. They come up with some very fancy, speculative, flowery theories. With all kinds of big words that the common layman doesn't even know what they're talking about. And they're celebrated as great scientists. Just like this Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says that the universe came out of absolutely nothing. And he's applauded as the biggest brain in the whole world. But science means experiment and observation. Where is the experiment that any scientist ever done when they took something, they got something out of nothing? Has it ever been proven in the history of science that you can get something out of nothing? But they put it forward, simply some flowery words, and people accept it. Actually, it's Buddhism. Everything comes out of the void. But they applaud him as a great innovator, a great scientific breakthrough. He's just giving Buddhist philosophy is all he's doing. But this Buddhist philosophy is actually an absurd philosophy. That everything is void. Nothing really exists. Then why are we, if nothing exists, then why are we here trying to figure out what is the purpose of existence if nothing exists? According to Buddhist philosophy, well, it's just, everything's just a figment of your imagination. And That means my imagination is real. I'm imagining. But my imagination doesn't exist according to Buddhist philosophy. So how can I imagine everything is real if I don't even exist? So these ridiculous philosophies, whether they're directly presented as Buddhism or presented as science, they don't answer the questions of why we exist. If we actually want to know why we exist, we must go to that person who knows things tattvatah, in truth. That person who knows factually things scientifically as they are, that is the person who is submissively heard from the bona fide spiritual master. And because he is submissively heard from the bona fide spiritual master, he is also a spiritual master. Therefore, Prabhupada ordered all of us to become spiritual masters, to spread this knowledge to the suffering people of the world. Actually, it was Lord Chaitanya's order. Jaride katarik taha Krishna upadashamara gayu guru hoyatara idesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. This way, on my order, you become guru. And deliver the people of Bulgaria. Or wherever you are living, you see, that country where you are living, you deliver the people of that country. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. That you all become guru and save the people. That means we must spread this message. Just as we are doing, this Rath Yatra is such a wonderful vehicle for spreading this message. Taking Jagannath out to bless all the people. Doing ecstatic Harinam to attract the people. Distributing books. Distributing prasadam. Let everyone come and become attracted to Krishna. This is not artificial. Deep within the heart, everyone is already devotee of Krishna. It's simply covered, that's all. There was three small boys, they were imitating the dancing. They had their hands in the air and they were going like this. They were having fun imitating the dancing devotees. They didn't realize they were stepping into their actual identities as followers of the Lord. Jivara Swarupa Hai Krishnara Nitya Das. They are all devotees of Krishna. All those three boys are devotees of Krishna. They just forgot. But now in fun, in imitation, now they are becoming devotees again. You see. So the more we can flood all of these towns with Harinam and with Prabhupada's books, it will bring about a complete transformation of this planet. Everyone will become happy. There will be no more war, no more terrorism. People will come off the animal platform and become the human beings, finally. As long as the people are in the animal consciousness, there will be problems. You cannot avoid it. Therefore, we must bring them from the animal platform to the human platform. That's how they'll become happy. But as long as they identify with their body, they will never become happy. Yashatma buddhi kunape tritaduke svadi kalatradi shuboma ijadi yatirta buddhe kunape yatirta bule salile nakara chidj janesha vagesha sa eva gokaraha. One who considers his material body to be his actual self. One who considers his whole, his place of birth to be a holy place of pilgrimage. One who considers those persons related to his material body to be his family members and not other people. And one who goes to a holy place of pilgrimage simply to take bath but has no eagerness to hear from the saintly teachers there. Is conclusively understood to simply be an animal like a cow or an ass. So we have to, first of all, realize these things ourselves. I'm not a woman, I'm not a man. Nahang vipo nacha nadapatir napi vaisho nushudro. Nahang varni na cha grihapatir vanasto yatirva kintu prajanya kalapadamananda pranabhravder gopi partu palakamalayur dasa dasa nudasa. I'm not a Brahman, Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of those two lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. The maintainer of the gopis. He is an ocean of transcendental nectar. He is the cause of universal bliss. And he is shining with unlimited brilliance. So we have to realize that we have nothing to do with these material bodies. To the extent that we have realized who we are, to that extent we can enlighten and uplift the consciousness of others. So just as a doctor has to have very good hygiene, so that he is always in first-class health. So he can treat the patients. So we should have very good sadhana. We should rise early in the morning, take our bath, adorn the body with tilak, wear devotional clothing, dive deeply into Namamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectarian ocean of the names. Swim deeply in that nectarian ocean. Absorb that wonderful nectar of Krishna consciousness deep, deep, deep into our hearts. And then in that purified state, we will be empowered to attract people to Krishna. In other words, we can only attract people to Krishna to whatever extent we are attracted to Krishna. So we should try to just become completely, totally attracted to Krishna. There are various stages of becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. They are described by Rupa Goswami. Adav shraddha tata saru sangata bhajana kriya tato narta narittishat tato nishtaru jistataha Atasaktistato bhavas tato bhava premanjati sadhakanamayang prema pradurbeva bhavetkramaha. In the beginning, there must be faith. That is the first step, shraddha or faith. And then sadhusanga, one becomes interested to associate with the pure devotees. The next stage, vadana kriya. One becomes initiated by the bona fide spiritual master and executes the regulated principles of devotional service under his orders. Thus, one becomes free from all unwanted habits. That's called anartana vritti. And he becomes nishta, or firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Thus, taste arises. One develops taste. One becomes so much relishing the taste of Krishna consciousness that other things are no longer attractive. Anything besides Krishna consciousness is no longer attractive. And then one has achieved the asakti stage where you become totally attached to Krishna. Sometimes people say, well, spiritual life means you must become detached. That is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is you must become attached. The more you become attached, that is your advancement in Krishna consciousness. And when your attachment becomes very, very strong, that's called a sakti. And that's called the sadhana bhakti. Beyond that, you go into the raganuga consciousness. So one should advance to that platform of becoming completely, totally attached to Krishna. And then what will happen after you come to asakti and you keep advancing in Krishna consciousness? Your emotions will intensify. That is the bhava stage. And then finally there is the awakening of pure love of God within the heart, where you have constant uninterrupted association with Krishna in personal loving exchange. So this is the gradual development of love of God in the heart of the devotee who is very serious about making advancement in Krishna consciousness. That devotee who achieved Krishna Prem, he can be you or he could be me. That's up to us, how serious we are to advance in Krishna consciousness. Do I simply want to become a well-respected member of the devotee community? Is that my only goal? Don't cheat yourself. Go for perfection. And then automatically you'll be appreciated by the devotees. If our only desire is to be appreciated by the devotees and we don't want to become completely purified, that's not sufficient. There are many people in this material world who are very much appreciated. But they are rascals. So we have to develop that pure loving mood for Lord Sri Krishna. And that will be our success. And we can awaken that pure love of God within the heart. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Not at many.
Разлика между ученик, който не удовлетворява difference between somebody who displeases his spiritual master and one karmi?
What is the difference between someone who displeases the spiritual master and somebody who is a completely a non-devotee, karmi? Karmi, or non-devotee, means he has no connection with Krishna. He's completely lost. A devotee who's trying to be Krishna conscious, but he's not perfect, he's sometimes dissatisfying his spiritual master. He's much better off. He's 1,000 times better than the non-devotee. Because it's not expected, immediately you can become perfect in Krishna consciousness. That person who seriously adopts the pathway, he's very millions of times better situated than the non-devotee. Prabhupada was very displeased with us and very pleased with us also. He one time said, all of my disciples, they are like coal. No matter how much you wash them, they're still dirty. So, Prabhupada is very dissatisfied with our nonsense. He was constantly chastising us, trying to chain us. At the same time, he saw our sincere attempt and he was pleased. So, even if one is sincerely trying, but is displeasing, that's all right. You'll get corrected. It's better to make the sincere attempt and be corrected if you're doing the wrong thing than not to do anything at all. Because then you get trained. I've come to serve my spiritual master. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm making this mistake and that mistake, but I sincerely want to serve him. So he'll say, don't do like this, do like this. So in this way you learn to become expert, you see. You can't expect to be expert immediately. To become expert requires training. So the spiritual master, he will train you. So never think that, I displease my guru, therefore I better just give up Krishna consciousness. Some people argue, well, because my chanting is offensive, it's better I don't chant at all. No, it's more offensive not to chant than it is to chant offensively. So not to serve the spiritual master at all is worse than to serve him and make a million mistakes. So whether one is a complete bumbling idiot or one is expert, one should serve one's spiritual master to the best of one's ability. And then you will learn, you'll be trained. Any other questions?
Possible that we are very expert material, but in spiritual life to be very much incapable and she says with a tight hands and how to avoid being annoying to other devotees all the time.
How to avoid being what? Annoying?
Annoying to other devotees all the time asking.
So there's two questions. Is it possible to be expert materially and be a complete idiot in devotional service? Sure. Just like somebody is very expert at, playing the madanga, but if you put him with a harmonium, they don't know what to do. So it's possible for someone to be very, very expert in material affairs and not know at all what they're doing when it comes to devotional service. So one just has, one shouldn't think, well, you know, I'm such a great madanga player. What's wrong with this harmonium? Why it doesn't cooperate with me? No, one has to be humble. Well, how did I learn to play the madanga? Because I was submissive. I studied under great madanga players. I became a good madanga player. So now I have to become humble again with harmonium. I don't know anything about harmonium. So the same learning process you went through to become expert in material affairs, now apply that same exact technique to become an expert in devotional service. Just like you can speak, you're expert in speaking Bulgarian language. Were you born being able to speak Bulgarian language? No. But you submissively heard from your parents and you learned how to speak Bulgarian language. So now you're expert, fluent Bulgarian speaker. So in the same way that you submissively heard from your parents how to speak Bulgarian language, you should be very meek and humble and learn how to do devotional service. And the second question about how to avoid annoying the other devotees. I just answered it. You have to be meek and humble. If you're proud as a peacock, then you will annoy the devotees. If you're very humble, the devotees are very, very pleased with you. So, come off your peacock platform. Become a very humble Vaishnavi. And then all the devotees will always be very pleased with you. Okay? Thank you. All right, next question. Yes, Prabhu.
We heard that knowledge means facts. My question is how these facts can become realized knowledge.
So we've heard that knowledge means facts. Well, how does this become realized? And this is described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Navaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Muke Hijivado Svayam Evas Padat Yadha. No one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, qualities, etc. of Krishna with their blunt, materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental loving service of the Lord beginning with the tongue, or the transcendental name, fame, forms, qualities, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Lord revealed to him. So, Prabhu, you simply have to engage your tongue in Krishna's service. You must taste Krishna Prasad. And you must chant Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then through this wonderful process of Krishna Bhakti, you will realize God. God will no longer be a concept for you. But when you are bathing the deities, you will see this is God standing in front of you. You will experience this is God. You will constantly experience it. Jagannath is not only standing here. Jagannath is everywhere. There's nowhere you can look where Jagannath is not there. Everywhere there is Jagannath. So, by engaging your tongue in the service of Krishna, gradually you will see how Jagannath is everywhere. He's in the sky, he's there across the Black Sea, he's in the walls, he's everywhere. Everywhere you'll see Jagannath. Actually, the devotees pray for that day when they can see Jagannath. That my dear Lord Jagannath, now I am covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. But I am praying and begging for that day when I can see you everywhere, my Lord. Jagannatha Shami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. Please come to my darshan. We're not demanding that Jagannath show himself, no. But we are begging that we become qualified to see him. That all of that dirt in the heart will be washed away, you see. We're begging for that day when we are so pure that Jagannath will want to see us, you see. When Jagannath wants to see you, then you will see Jagannath. You see, if I want to meet the President of the United States, it will be very difficult. Even recently, I tried to arrange a meeting with the Governor of Texas. Actually, that Governor of Texas, he's running for President of the United States. It is thought by many he will become the next President of the U.S. So I recently tried to arrange a meeting with him. And his office called up and they said, well, he's busy right now, but later. Because he did not want to see me, I was not able to see him. But if he wants to see me, I have no difficulty seeing him. So you have to do such first-class service in such pure loving mood that Jagannath will want to come and see you. And then you realize God. Try to show the Lord how sincerely you're working to please Him. And then you will realize everything about Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yeah.
You mentioned this instruction from Lord Chaitanya to preach and help the people where you live. But I see that many devotees go to be trained somewhere else in another country, and many times they stay there. What is better, to go be trained somewhere else, or to try to do that here and preach here?
One should consult, is it better to stay where you are or better to go somewhere else? That you consult with your spiritual master or your higher authorities. Srila Prabhupada engaged different devotees in different ways. Some he would send to foreign lands to push forward the movement. Some he would keep them right where they were in their country. So I want you to stay where you are. Here in Bulgaria. Preaching, making a spiritual revolution here in Bulgaria. That is called Prabhu Datta Desh. The place of residence given by the spiritual master. So I am not by your birth, but by the spiritual master's giving. I am giving you Bulgaria as your Prabhu Datta Desh. So on Guru's order now, this is your place of residence. Any other questions?
How can we convince the so-called scientists about the facts of the real knowledge?
How can we convince the scientists? That is not an easy thing. They need a lot of prasadam, that's one thing. A lot of prasadam. There was one scientist who was convinced, actually, Dr. George Wald. He was, he gave one presentation at the University of Florida years ago. Presenting the materialistic viewpoint. And our devotee, Amarendra Prabhu, our temple president of Gainesville Temple, he went there and challenged him in front of everyone. Amarendra debated with him and defeated him in front of all the people. Very heavy confrontation he had with him in a huge auditorium. But then many years later, that same scientist who was so completely materialistic, he became friends with our movement. The Bhakti Srirup Damodar was cultivating him. And he became very favorable towards the spiritual viewpoint of reality. So, we, with such scientists, we had to preach very strongly. At the same time, we have to give them love, give them prasadam. Prabhupada was very expert in preaching to the scientists. He would not allow them to get away with their nonsense philosophy. He would completely defeat their nonsense philosophy. But in a very, very nice way. Always in a very loving, kind, intelligent way, Prabhupada would engage them. There was one scientist in Prabhupada's sitting, hearing Prabhupada speak in his garden in Los Angeles. Dr. Wolf. And Prabhupada had said that how the materialistic people are mad. And Dr. Wolf objected that that language is too strong. You should say they're stupid. I forget what he probably said. Was it the other way around? It's the other way. He said, Prabhupada's, huh? Huh?
He said, as you are saying.
He said it, I said it correctly?
Yes.
He objected. What was Dr. Wolf's objection? Better to say they're stupid instead of mad?
Yeah.
Mad is too heavy. And then Prabhupada said, yes, mad is the sum total of all stupidities. So Prabhupada was very expert in he was very strong and heavy at the same time. He was very charming. He had a very expert way of being heavy and charming at the same time. In other words, Prabhupada didn't just attack, but he was a gentleman at the same time, very much of a gentleman. In other words, Prabhupada was like hot pickles that are also very sweet. He's so hot you can't stand him, but he's so sweet you can't resist him. So preaching to the scientist requires a very qualified preacher, actually. He must be a very qualified preacher to preach to them. You have to be conversant with their arguments also. But Prabhupada's, that one book is very good training for this. Life comes from life. Prabhupada's logic is so simple and so powerful. They say that life comes from matter. This is what Dr. Wald was saying. He said that matter precedes consciousness. But it's actually the other way around. Consciousness precedes matter. See, this is the basic fallacy of modern science. They say that consciousness comes out of dead matter. You can take dead matter and arrange it in a certain way and you can get consciousness. But where is the proof? Let them show in the laboratory that you can take dead matter and produce consciousness. But they expect us to believe them. You can't get life out of dead matter. But we see that a living thing produces so many material byproducts. Just like we are all living beings, and every day we are passing so much stool and urine, you see. So their whole philosophy is very fallacious philosophy. To deal with a scientist, one should study very carefully, especially that book, Life Comes from Life. Because Prabhupada has so expertly defeated their arguments. Even if we can get one or two scientists out of the thousands, that'll be a great victory. Ekas Chandra, one moon can light up the whole sky. If we can make even one of these scientists a pure devotee, that will be a great revolution. Because then he can write so many books, and he can publish articles in scientific journals, even one of them, if we can make them one of them a devotee, it'll be a big breakthrough. Arasada Pruta, now we're very much lamenting his departure. He was a great scientist. He was very much respected by the material scientists. Unfortunately, Arasada Pruta Prabhu, he's left his body. But his books are there. One can study the books of Sadaputta Prabhu and gain very good insight on how to convince the scientists to become Krishna conscious. Especially that book, Mechanistic and Non-Mechanistic Science. That book is especially good. So any other questions? Yeah.
Как да преценяваме кои са приоритетни, защото аз ще карам кола и има опасност, когато съм преуморен, да стане лошо нещо. Просто как да преценяваме приоритетите, кое е по-важно в определен момент?
He says that sometimes while executing devotional service, physically it's very demanding, like now we have many festivals and traveling, and at the same time we have to do our sadhana, and especially if we are fasting, and he says I have to drive, sometimes this may lead to too much over to be too say too weak, and that could be dangerous. How to balance all of this?
Well, if you're driving, you better take sufficient rest. That's a thing. The last thing in the world we want is an accident, falling asleep at the wheel and having an accident. So one should plan accordingly. Actually, driving at night one should not do. I know I think we all drove at night last night, but it's not very good. It's especially dangerous driving at night. One has to, if required, one may have to make up one's round the next day. But they must be made up. There's no question of just forgetting about them. It's better to take rest and drive safely and make up your rounds the next day than it is to chant your rounds and get killed in an automobile accident. We want our drivers to be well rested and drive safely also, not like speed demons. Slow but steady wins the race. Many devotees have been killed. In Riga, Latvia, devotees went to a festival in Russia, and on the way back, they had a head-on collision. It's a very sad thing. One girl was paralyzed for life. Other devotees were killed. Very, very sad thing when that happens. It's a beautiful young girl. Now she's in a wheelchair the rest of her life, you see. Simply because the devotee fell asleep at the wheel, that's all. So So we must be very careful in driving. But don't waste time in frivolous activities. When there's time, immediately chant Hare Krishna, chant year round. If there's any time, immediately chant. In fact, we're going to end the class now to give you time to chant. Huh? Huh?
He's finished his rounds. He's done with his rounds.
He's doing his rounds?
He finished already.
Finished our rounds already. Yeah. Well, let him take a nap then, if he needs one. And why not want our devotees, we want the service to be done, we want everybody to be safe. If necessary, make up your rounds the next day, but don't neglect your rounds. Is that clear? Yes.
We were talking about the scientist. Can we connect this scientist with the, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that it takes the, he can scientists can be considered as jnanis, and then they can be take many births to come to understand Krishna.
You're asking, can the scientists be understood as jnanis?
Yes.
Yes?
They are trying to understand what is the truth behind this material existence. The only problem is they're going about it the wrong way. They're putting blind faith in their imperfect senses and the imperfect senses of their colleagues. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here.
Huh? It will take them many births to become the devotees.
Yes, the question is, she's making a statement, it will take many births. That's it, right. Krishna says there are many births. That's a fact. It will take many births. So we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Blagodarya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.